Have you ever sat down at the piano and started to play chopsticks? It's actually a pretty well-known waltz, and Long Long has a lot of fun with that very familiar waltz and many other pieces of music that you might have learned as you were growing up taking piano lessons. It's all on a new recording called The Piano Book, which is an actual book. Long Long tells you more about that and much more this week on New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Almacher. Long Long, you've just released your first solo album in about 3 years. It's called Piano Book. And this one is really stirring up some memories for you. Tell me about this recording.
The reason I did it, I want to tell a story. When I was a 4 years old boy, I watched Horowitz in Moscow. And one of the most beautiful pieces, which I remember so well, was the Schumann Träumerei. And I even remembered my neighbors even played that piece. So technically, it's not a very difficult piece. But when I heard Horowitz doing it, it's like the highest artistic level and made everyone emotionally weeping their eyes. And so then I realized the pieces which I'm doing in that moment for Elise, you know, those pieces are not only for children, it's also for great musicians as well. But obviously, when I was 4 or 5, I'm just playing the note with a good feeling, that's all, you know, but not in the very high standard of artistic interpretations. So at the age of 36, I thought, you know, it's time to revisit those pieces and to really inspire the new music generations to have the confidence to play those pieces in a more artistic way.
You call these true masterpieces. Why is that?
Yeah, I think those pieces are really, in a way, quite underrated because people hear it from the ringtone, people hear it from somewhere, you know, so they probably thought, oh, those pieces are just for beginners, you know, everybody can play it, it's not a big deal. But actually, those pieces are real masterpieces. Just like when Horowitz played the Träumerei, you realize this is not a children's piece. And so therefore, I think, you know, for this recording, let's present those pieces in a more interesting and more refreshing ways and to have more confidence to play those pieces as artistic pieces.
Are some of these pieces included in your teaching book series, The Long Long Piano Method?
We actually created a new book. It's just called Piano Book. So we have not only the CDs, but we also have the book with my personal note and interpretation ideas.
As you were selecting the works for this recording and this book, did you have any aha moments where you discovered something new in a work that maybe you'd been kind of missing your whole life?
Of course, of course. Most of the piece when I play, it certainly I played extremely different than when I was a kid. And also how great they are, you know, I realize much more. Because now, you know, if you play a Mozart sonata in C major, You already learned from all your piano concerto experience with the operas you heard, with the other sonatas you played, and then you put the whole knowledge from back of your mind, and so you relearn this piece with all those informations. Same with Beethoven, you know. even for Elise, it's not a difficult piece, but this piece has many magical moments, many incredible transition passages. So therefore, I think the things we have learned from the concertos, the late sonatas, and the variations, and then, you know, you come back and you see this piece as a completely different, almost like a three-movement sketch.
You've established such a beautiful tone quality when you play it. Can you talk a little bit about how you create that sound?
Yeah, I actually even thinking about, you know, how to write those words down, you know, so then people will understand my motifs to play those pieces. So what I'm trying to do is, because in music is that the music is from somewhere and then when it's finished, it goes somewhere. It's either from our world or from the fantasy in our mind, or it's come from our heart, some part of our heart. So we have to bring music in the completely different ways every time when we calling the music. So therefore, we have to create a certain beats before the music comes. So like before the For Elise, because this piece, it comes with those and you have to wait a little bit, maybe put your left pedal down and also to push few times of the right pedal to create a little bit of room air. And then, you know, take a breath and make your finger going very, very lightly from the upper point of the keys, and then you go from there and you go in. And then don't stop anywhere until your breath is out. So I think that way, you know, you always have a beautiful, beautiful beginning of this piece.
When I was a young piano student, this was like what I aspired to play when I was like 8 years old. And I always loved the idea that it allows you to have a little rubato where it feels like you can sort of shift that tempo a little bit in that section.
Sure. I mean, rubato in Italian, it means steal, you know, like kind of like stolen something. But, you know, the thing is when you steal the time, right, it's not stealing something, it's steal the time, right? When you steal the time, you have to give it back somewhere. So we cannot be afraid of taking little time here and there. That's not the problem. The problem will be if you don't give it back, then it's a major problem. So that's everything, you know, what we should do in music is to take some time and then, you know, take it back to what's supposed to be the tempo. And when you have that in your mind, it should be okay.
The Presto by Czerny from the School of Velocity is featured. Now, this is a composer that you have stuck with, even though early on learning his pieces might have been a little tedious. Why was it important to stick with this composer?
Once I actually met Czerny's great-grandson, and he's a great-great-great-grandson, you know, because that, yeah, in Amsterdam. So I was playing. So there are two guys, you know, a young gentleman and with a very, very small kid came to me. And then they say, oh, I'd like to speak to you a little bit. I say, okay, sure. And they start talking about, hey, what do you think about the Czerny Etudes? And I'm like, yeah, it's very, very hard and difficult and boring. And then they said, oh, I'm so sorry, but that was my ancestor. I said, what? What are you talking about? So he started talking about, you know, he's the son of, you know, the son of this, that. And I said, oh. And then I was like, okay, yeah, sure. But I want to say it's also very useful. So don't feel bad about it. But that's the truth, you know. I mean, when I was a kid, I mean, I was kind of okay. I did not like it, but the person really who lived next door, they hate it, you know, my neighbors. They really hate Czerny because, I mean, it's not nice for them to listen to that. But now, you know, to record those pieces, it's just like a roller coaster. Without those pieces, you will not get into Chopin Etude. You will not get into Beethoven sonatas. So this is your fundamental. This is like bread and butter. You know, you need to have that in order to get more main dishes.
That's followed by a beautiful waltz from the film Amelie. And it's a film that you really like. Tell me more about that. Why did you like the film and the music that goes with it?
Honestly, when I was a teenager, I like most time action movies, you know, like the kung fu stuff or the big action movies, the superhero movie. And then I watched Amelie, and this is the first time I felt, wow, this is such a beautiful artistic movie. But the thing is that I think really what attracted me was the music of this movie. It was so beautiful and so kind of like floating everywhere. And it's in Paris, so it has a very special flair. You hear his music, it's so visual, you know, somehow you just see everything from this music.
I know you see a lot of visual images when you play the Mozart variations, which many of us would know as Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
Right.
Talk to me a little bit about some of the variations that are your favorites and those that might be a little bit emotional.
The Twinkle Twinkle is a piece which really inspired me that Mozart is a real operatic composer. And in the beginning, you think, oh my God, this is such an easy piece. Dun, 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 dun. Just like when you learn A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But after the third variation, you realize this piece is very difficult to play. Because when you're trying to play very excited, then it becomes so heavy, you know, it's so heavy and it's kind of like, it's just not pleasant. You know, can you imagine when you play Mozart in a very heavy way, like a big elephant doing Mozart? It's not nice. And then, you know, there's some kind of a very spiritual passage comes, like. Like all those great operatic overtures. And then you are like, wow, this is so exciting. And then Adagio, it's just one of the most beautiful Adagio out there. And then when Mozart comes to the minor, it's incredible. It's like you can see the sky is changing the color. It doesn't involve with many, many notes, but the perfect amount of the harmonies. And all of those things need to do it in a very subtle way on your fingertips. And so therefore, Mozart is very, very difficult to perform, even for me now at 36 years old playing the Mama Variation. It's a very, very difficult thing to do.
The second CD, this is a two CD set. CD 2 is filled with some fun surprises, including a piano arrangement from the Wild Swans Suite by a Soviet-born Australian composer. Tell me a little bit about this work and why you chose to include it.
I mean, The Black Swan, the movie was quite deep and quite dark, you know, and it's hard to explain that movie. But again, the music from a movie is very refreshing, like this one. It's almost like a music box. You know, you hear this music, it's a fantasy music sound. So incredible contrast between this music and to the actual quite dark film.
There is something else that I really found surprising on that second CD, and that would be what I always call chopsticks, probably the first piece of music that anyone learns. And even if you don't play the piano, you learn how to play this piece, and you turn it into this wonderful waltz that's just filled with flourishes. Tell me about the celebrated Chop Waltz by Allen.
Yeah, I mean, this is certainly the first piece that, especially in America, people learn. I still remember when I came to America in my class, you know, the high school class, and then, you know, we went to a place with a piano, and then my classmate, can you play some chopstick? And I did not understand, because I know this piece in China, but I don't think we call this chopstick. But anyway, so when they asked me about how to play chopstick, I thought they want me to teach them how to use chopstick. And then I was like, oh, I don't have chopstick here. No, 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 you play chopstick. And then they start playing this, you know, dun, 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 dun. I said, oh, that's what you're talking about. Okay. And then, you know, this is my first impression. But then I thought this piece can be played very, very interesting. You know, we can make many times of different type of repeat. We can have sometimes the accent on the first beat, sometimes accent on the second beat, sometimes take time on the third beat, you know, kind of like combine with waltz and mazurkas, you know, and polkas, you know. So that therefore, I really wanted to record this piece and to also so to show those kids, you know, this piece can be played in many different ways of interpretations.
Long, would you tell me about some of the folk songs that you included as well, because they have real personal importance to you?
Yes, so the Jasmine Flower from China. This piece is a very, very, very popular piece in China. I think even in the West, people know it because it's from the Turandot, Puccini's Turandot opera. So I realized this is just part of the piece, because there's another tune from this piece with much more kind of Chinese traditional like taste and style. Kind of like a lot of curves, like a little rivers kind of go through your backyard, that type of little curves. And therefore, I wanted to present this piece, you know, with the familiar jasmine flowers, and then with the kind of the original, very folky jasmine flowers. And I think this is a truly a beautiful melody and beautiful arrangement. And there's another little piece called Mary Shepherd Boy. And it's a piece that I always like to play as a kid, but then I felt this piece is, you know, because everybody is playing this piece, you know, I'm like, okay, I don't want to play it. It's just so boring. But now, you know, come back, and this piece is almost like Schubert sonatas, fourth movement, like last movement of a Schubert sonata, or like this type of Austrian folk music from the mountains near Salzburg. So somehow I found oh, this, I mean, folk music can be connected to the European mountains as well. So that's kind of a fun piece to do. And then there are music from Africa, from India, from Korea, from Japan, from Argentina. It's like collecting postcards when I'm performing in those countries. So every time when I'm playing in those countries with a lot of great history, I always try to bring a folk tune and to do a little arrangement to play as an encore and to, you know, to try to make a respect to the local cultures. And so over the years, I thought, oh, this is good. Now I have more than 8 folk music from different parts of the world. Let's record it.
What did you learn about yourself as you were putting this recording together?
I must say that I found, as I mentioned before, as a pianist, we always need to find who we are and to find our first love and find the reason we wanted to play piano. And I think I found through this project the reason and the first love of being pianist.
Highlights from the Piano Book as Long Long rediscovers the music that helped him to fall in love with playing the piano. That's this edition of New Classical Tracks from American Public Media, with special thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode. I'm Julia Macher.